Greetings, everyone. Welcome back to A Dose of Dog. We, you know, typically we talk about a lot of behavior and training issues on this podcast, but today we're going to take a little bit of a turn. So one of the things that doesn't really come up on this podcast particularly is the financial end of owning a dog. So today I have a guest, Cooper Larson from Royal Credit Union. She's the Community Financial Education Coordinator for RCU. And Cooper, you've won like a whole bunch of awards and stuff working with the prisons and in the community, just providing financial education. So I thought she would be the perfect person to talk about how do we look at our dogs from a financial perspective? And I know that most of you, that's not something we really think about. Like, we see the cute puppy and we're like, I'm getting a puppy. But holy cow, we all know that veterinary costs have skyrocketed. Costs of just owning a dog have skyrocketed. So Cooper's going to help us kind of talk about how we finance having a dog and what that might look like. And Cooper and I go way back.
Way back.
We're not going to talk about how far back we go. However, Cooper's mom is a very good friend of mine who was one of our instructors, who I've known forever and ever and ever. And Cooper and I were just talking about how we used to, when we go to dog shows, we'd haul Cooper's 3-year-old booty in the car across the states to show dogs in the morning. And so,
yep.
So she's very familiar with the dog world. I think at the time, Cooper, about when you were born, you guys probably had like 6 dogs, like through growing up.
Yep. 6 to 8 is usually what we had.
Yeah. Yep. So she's very familiar. The other really important part about Cooper is she's Coco's mom. So that also is equally very important. So thanks for coming on today, Cooper. This is something you probably don't get a lot of questions about, like at RCU.
Not really. We have, on our podcast, we did one episode because we thought it'd be fun, but we're not usually out there giving, you know, pet parent advice on finances. So this will be fun.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we don't really think about the financial end of owning a dog until we have an emergency. I feel like that's when it hits us like a brick wall where your dog has cruciate tear, your dog is diagnosed with a disease, whether it's an acute disease or a chronic disease or whatever. So yeah, there's a lot of pieces. So I think we'll start off to give you an idea of kind of what a dog would cost. I have some statistics that might be kind of interesting for everyone. You know, because a lot of people say, what does it cost yearly to have a dog? And I think some of the statistics that I got, and a lot of them are from Forbes and AKC, are just basic wellness. So if we look at basic wellness, which is, you know, intro veterinary care, if you get a puppy or a rescue that's an adult, you know, we live in Wisconsin, so we have Lyme that's endemic. So they're going to need some tick-borne testing. They're probably going to need, like, baseline blood work. You know, make sure they're on flea and tick prevention and just make sure that they're generally well. And the estimates I got were between $700 and $1,500 yearly, and I feel like that's kind of low.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's kind of low.
I think it's a good, very basic baseline. Yes.
And that's and all at once sometimes, you know, and that's not if your dog is on medication or, you know, has some other kind of pieces. So some of the other statistics that I looked at were, what about over the cost of a life? And I think this is why it's important to look at financing, because holy cow, it can be pretty expensive. And I think sometimes we look at the price of the dog initially, but holy cow, that's only like a tiny little bit of what that might look like.
Yep.
So the estimates that I got were, if you have a small dog, and small, medium, large, and remembering that sometimes large dogs have shorter lifespans, unfortunately, so your veterinary care and expenses aren't going to be as big, but a large breed dog, so if you had a Newfoundland or a Great Dane or a Mastiff or something, over the course of 10 years could be about $14,480. A medium-sized dog, let's say average lifespan is 13 years, which in my breed I would love to have a 13-year-old, $15,782 a year. A small breed dog, which we know small breed dogs can live longer, you hope, till like 15 or so. What does Sousa live to be, Cooper?
Oh, God. She was
like 16,
I think.
Oh, 16 little dachshund.
Yes.
And for small breeds, about 15,000 over the course of those 15 years. So, I mean, I think when you get a dog, you don't look at, oh, I'm going to spend 20 grand. And I think those are, again, on the low end. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And then I got some statistics that said that a lot of the times people are spending between $17,000 and $93,000 over the dog's lifetime. Holy cow, we don't get a puppy and think we're going to spend $93,000 over the next 12 years.
No.
So holy cow, how do you even look at that? So I guess, and I think too, like Cooper, people that are your age, I feel like a lot of those people are getting puppies, and the statistics tell us getting puppies before they have a child or they get married. And so mm-hmm. a lot of people are starting off just their adulting life with a dog. So yep. there's an added expense above and beyond all of the other adulting costs. So a lot of interesting stuff there. So let's talk about, I think, costs associated. So we know we're getting a dog. So we're often adopting, which mm-hmm. we have an adoption fee. Which sometimes I feel like is, I don't know if the word is underwhelming, where maybe you have a $400 adoption fee, but then you find out the dog needs a Kershid repair.
Yep. Yep.
And I think a Kershid repair these days is at least $3,000.
Yep.
Depending on the clinic. I would say up to $5,000 per leg, perhaps. Oh. And when I say Kershid repair, I mean a torn ligament in their knee, which is mm-hmm. quite common. So that cranial Kershid ligament in a dog's knee. So we've got, obviously, the adoption cost, or if you're purchasing a dog. Mm-hmm. And you know, an ethically bred dog, if you're getting a dog from someone who has health tested and is doing good neonatal care and things like that, I mean, you're probably going to pay more, mm-hmm. obviously. But even I feel like adoption fees have gone up quite a bit, too.
Well, depending where you're adopting from these
yeah.
days, you know, smaller local shelters tend to have, you know, lower fees still. But some of the mm-hmm. ones that are popular and doing great work, I mean, you are sometimes paying a fee that is
yes
very close to what you're paying from, you know, a reputable breeder, depending on what breed you're getting.
I just saw a local, not local-ish, well, local, like Midwestern, rescue with $1,000 adoption mm-hmm. fee. I was like, holy
yep.
cow, that's a kind of a big chunk. And
it
again, we'll talk about what else. So obviously we start with that. Usually go to the vet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you go to the vet right away and you need all of the things. They need the puppy, the series of puppy vaccines, a wellness exam. Oftentimes puppies come with some kind of like possible intestinal parasite.
Mm-hmm.
Giardia coccidii, because they put everything in their mouth, including rabbit poop and all of the things. And so you have that. You have training classes. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm well aware of those costs, which, of course, I feel like instead of a want, that is a need.
Absolutely. If you want to have that good 15-year life with your dog,
yes,
100%.
Yes. And the you know, research shows us that dogs that go through a puppy class, supportive puppy class, are more likely to stay in their home.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is good. But then, of course, you could have incur more costs at that point.
Well, and I think it's worth it. You know, here's training classes. Definitely, I think they're a need as well, right? Some
mm-hmm.
people might not. But there's the side of it where that's your chance to really bond with your dog, to
yeah.
learn how to do it in a effective way, where if you're a new dog owner, dogs are hard, man. You know, it is training them, learning how to read them.
Yes.
It's so important to be able to have that relationship and to have a dog that acts the way you want it. You know, they're still dogs, but
yep.
you build that with them. So the training classes, I think, are worth it just in that, personally.
And you're coming from someone who has trained a lot of dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yes.
I think sometimes people will say, well, I've had a dog, I don't need puppy class. But,
mm-hmm.
oh my goodness, I have a woman in puppy class right now who's had Bernese Mountain Dogs for as long as
mm-hmm.
I've known her, 30 years. And she's brought, I can't tell you how many puppies to class. And she keeps coming back because it's not,
yep.
I mean, it's for her, that 1 hour time for her and for the puppy
yep.
to start to build that relationship.
Yep. And
yeah.
it gets your dog, you know, so Coco, she's a career change service dog.
Yep.
So she knows a lot of stuff. Pretends she
knows a lot of stuff.
Pretends she doesn't, right? But one of her things, you know, getting career changed is, one, she has elbow dysplasia. Two, two is she's reactive to new people.
Yep.
And so, you know, coming to class, I was like, oh, you know, she really likes to learn.
She loves to learn.
It's been a hot minute since, you know, I've taken a class or, like, got caught up in the dog training world. And so, you know, I took classes here. did I need to? No, but it was so worth the money because she got some socialization. She's a different dog when she walks through the door here where people are like, no, she totally likes people. I'm like, no, she really does not. But she's a totally different dog. She got interaction. She learned new trainers.
Yes.
She's like, and so I think that alone, she didn't need to know how to sit and stay and, you know, not pick up something from the floor, but just being around and knowing how to act and saying, hey, it's cool if other people are here. It's so worth the money, too. So
I think I remember the first day she came in, she was like, oh, there's humans here. I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
And now she's like, humans.
My gosh, we get out of the car and she's like, see ya, mom. And I'm like, can you hang on now?
You do know how to walk on a leash.
Like, you can loose leash walk, for heaven's sake. But yeah, no, that alone was so worth it.
And even if you did, so let's say, if we look at the cost of it, so let's say you get a puppy. I mean, of course, I think every single puppy should go through Puppy Einstein.
Yep.
And so at a minimum, like a puppy class, if you have a puppy, I mean, some people are getting an older dog because Coco was probably almost 2 years. How old was she when she was career changed?
A year and a half when she was career changed.
Yeah. And career change just means that she was kind of bred, trained, brought up in a service dog program and then had some minor ism that took her out of the program. And the statistics on the dogs that actually make it through are fairly low.
Yeah,
like
they are.
They have to be, they are the gold standard of the dogs that are out there. And Coco's such a fabulous dog. And she's such a clever little yellow lab.
She is.
So then if you wanted to continue training, I mean, you do a puppy class, which is, I think our puppy class right now is 160 for 7 weeks. And then, excuse me. Real Life Rover is 180 for 8 weeks. And then some people go on to take more. And, you know, when you get a puppy, you've bought the puppy, you've come into the vet, you've bought the crate, you've bought the food, you've bought the bed and all of the things. And now you have a training class.
Yep.
Like, that's a big expense.
It is.
Above and beyond purchasing, if you purchase a puppy. And sometimes it's on a whim, right? Sometimes we're like, oh my gosh, they see a puppy and or their friend had a, you know, litter of something and they're like, oh my gosh, I have to get a puppy. And so sometimes I feel like people take that on and then they're like, oh,
yep,
uh-oh.
Well, I think, you know, that can kind of take us back to just general finance, right? So you talk a lot about behavior change on here. Finance is behavior change.
Yes.
That's all it is. Okay.
Oh, I never thought of it that way, but yes.
everything that Heather talks about on here, you can apply it to personal finance too, I swear. But you know, having that general, like, yes, we need an emergency fund for moments, but having that little slush fund set aside for when you accidentally see a puppy on the side of the road and you're like, gotta have it, you know? Like,
so would you recommend, so what if, so let's say Scott, I know, let's say Scott isn't going to, Scott, our podcast host, but we'll pretend. He's like, I just saw a Sheltie puppy and I really want to get a puppy, but we haven't, but maybe you haven't necessarily put money away.
Mm-hmm.
And you take money, I mean, is it reasonable to pull it out of somewhere, or especially for those moments where it's more impromptu?
Yes, I think it is. You know, I would say, you know, having that emergency fund where, like, you don't touch it, that's for you lose your job, that we're not taking it out of there. Sorry, puppy, not an emergency. But having
I don't know, Cooper,
well,
puppy emergency.
I don't know that we're the right ones to say
exactly.
That. Exactly. But in general, you wouldn't want to take it out of there.
Which makes sense, of course.
Right. But if you have that, you know, other account that you just, you put some money aside, it's for those extra things, or if you have extra padding in that emergency fund, you know, you've got the basics covered. Absolutely. Like, you know, we make money to be able to spend it and enjoy it.
True.
And so just saving it, well, it's good, but you have it there for those moments where, hey, you know, we're not going on vacation, but we're getting a puppy, done. So you can, you know, finances are flexible and you ultimately are the one that gets to decide what you do with them.
Yeah.
So puppy, totally.
Well, let's talk about that because I think, so, okay, let's think, say, so we got a dog and we have all these goals. And I mean, this isn't even including someone that goes through all training and then they decide they want to be in some kind of sport like agility or obedience, because that is a whole nother world. That is basically like they talk about hockey parents, right? And how, like, yes. hockey parents will go on weekends and spend tons of money. I mean, I remember doing agility going, oh, my gosh, I'm entered in a trial again this weekend, and I have to travel and get a hotel yep. and pay entry fees. And
it's a whole thing. It's a whole
yes.
thing.
Yes. And classes, yep. you know, like weekly classes. So let's say you're not that person. You're an average pet person. You just want a well-behaved dog. So let's say someone has saved for a puppy. What is your recommendation, Cooper, for, okay, the life of that dog? Is it better to just draw money out of, like, their normal finances? Mm-hmm. Is it better to have, like, a separate account? Or how would you coach someone through that? Or what would your recommendation be for that?
Yeah, you know, I think it again, is going to depend on the person and kind of yeah. what their current financial situation is. I'm good at examples. So one thing that I do, you know, I had money that I was putting aside just yep. for, you know, fun / whatever. Yep. Well, I got Coco. So now I have to think about, okay, food. Mm-hmm. We have annual vet costs. She potentially could need surgery yeah. in the future, right? And so for her, you know, she's become just a normal chunk of what I set aside for my paycheck. So
okay.
for her, you know, I know when we go to the vet, it's $500 every year.
Yeah. Okay. And gosh, you can't get out of the vet for under $500.
No, you cannot.
Like. Which, I mean, I love my veterinary clinic. Yep. Like, totally worth their expertise.
yep. But you have to think about that.
Yeah.
You know, so for
that. Because that's not a $50 visit.
No.
Like, no one's getting out of the vet for $50.
No. I wish. And so, you know, you have that $500. I know she costs $500. Okay, I divide that up by 12. It's a little tiny bit that comes out of my paycheck. So she has her own savings account that it's labeled Coco.
Oh, she
her
does.
Money goes, yes, yes.
Coco savings account.
It's very cute, yes. But so, like, that's where her money goes. That's where her daycare days go. That's where everything that I've planned on spending on her, plus that little bit of extra goes in there, too. So you can do it like that. You can also, if you're someone that just throws money into a savings account, you can count that it comes out of there. But I think you have to treat them just like any other expense you have.
Yeah.
The same you would with kids, right? Yeah. You know, you budget for that. You budget for family things. Budget for things you do with the dog. And have goals for them. I just got a new dog crate, which probably not thrilling to everyone, right? But it's a crash-tested crate.
Oh,
I'm kind of a nut about, you know, dog car safety.
Oh, we taught you
Right? I know. My mom was so proud. But that was a big expense.
That's a big expense.
And so I, you know, we put money away and had a harness for a long time. And now she has a nice kennel she can hang out in. So.
Oh, my gosh. What kind of kennel did you get?
I got the Tools.
T-H-U-L-E. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying it
right. Yeah, I forget. They're making crates now. I haven't seen that. I might have to check it out.
It's beautiful. Truly.
I have a Vario cage, and I've had that for...
That I was between those two.
Oh, I really love it. I mean, I've had that, oh my gosh, when I had three dogs, and I just have Ridge and Clark now. I keep making it a little smaller because it's adjustable. But, oh my gosh, that's something that's, like, fairly new in the last, I don't know, 10, 8 years? Like, crash-tested crates? And that's something I think you get a puppy and you don't realize that might be something that you need.
Yes. Once you get into, you know, the effects of that, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not to say, you know, it's so hard because as dog people, those are the things we spend money on for our dog, right?
Yeah.
Having your dog in the back seat isn't wrong. Highly recommend a harness
of
some sort.
Oh, yes.
You know, like having 100%. Them restrained, and not only for their safety, but yours as well.
Yes.
So thinking through all those little pieces, it's important, but it adds up.
And, you know, and that's not even talking about the fun stuff, like going to Pet Food Plus and being like, you need a giant squeaky unicorn.
Bark box.
I mean, it's kind of never ending.
It really is.
So, okay, let's go back to, like, the basics, because our dogs need healthcare.
Yep.
Like, they don't always need the new squeaky unicorn, although we would argue that they would.
Enrichment, right?
Yes. But, so there's a lot of... You see this online a lot. Like, someone's dog will have some kind of an emergency. So they need a cruciate repair. They have been in a car accident. They are diagnosed with, like, a chronic disease or something. They're going to need long-term meds or some kind of treatment or whatever it might be. And so you see a lot of GoFundMes a lot of the times.
Yep.
And, you know, the veterinarians offer care credit, which is basically a credit card run through like a veterinary specific credit card to help you fund emergencies. And then there's the whole world of pet insurance, which has also exploded and certainly changed. I have pet insurance, and from, I don't know how long I've had it. Let's say 10 years, probably. I mean, I've seen that go from fairly inexpensive to what it is now. Yeah. I mean, it's expensive. So out of all of those options, what do you think is the smartest? So if you had to start from the very beginning of like, I just got a puppy and I know at some point in everyone's life, their dog's going to have an emergency of some sort, whether it's they've eaten a giant stick, they swallowed a whole turkey at Thanksgiving, they got bit by the neighbor dog, they broke a leg jumping out of the car. So what is your recommendation with all of those options? So there's pet insurance, there's care credit, there's having a savings account. I mean, I feel like a lot of the care credit stuff, the percentages are high.
Yeah.
Like a credit card would be.
So again, it's totally going to depend on your situation. And as much as we want people to prepare, life happens, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I'm an advocate of have that savings account, put that money aside, you know, have it in there for when life happens. Now, if something happens right away as you're trying to save up, you know, that little cushion, the care credit, those types of things can be a good option.
Yeah.
A lot of times they have zero interest for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
Which is great. So then essentially it's an interest-free loan. You're paying it back.
Yep.
And care credit is one you can use other places too. So sometimes at your eye doctor, sometimes.
Oh, like, sure.
Yeah. So it can be a benefit where you're using it for more than just the vet.
Yeah.
But again, depending on credit situation, you know, you're limited to how much you might be approved for and if it's going to cover the cost. And typically, if you don't pay it off within that amount of time, you're going to get charged interest and probably some extra fees. So
I feel
you just
like that's
have to
where
be mindful. It is, 100%. Sometimes vet clinics, well, not always, I can't speak for all of them, some might do a payment plan.
Yeah.
And that can be helpful to work with them on that. Even if you're like, oh, I bet they don't, just ask.
Yeah.
You know, they care about your pet the way you do. You're trying to do the best you can. They want their money. They might be able to work something out with
and
you.
And we've done that with people too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With classes, because that's a big, like dropping $160 on one night, that's a big expense for for a lot of people. So we certainly would work for that. But people don't ask a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Either,
and that's with everything in finance, ask.
Yeah.
Like, you know, finance professionals, we're here to help you. Ask us before, you know, you don't make a payment or something.
Yeah.
Ask your vet if they can help. Ask your dog trainer if they can, you know, figure out something to do to work with you.
Yeah.
So I think care credit can be an awesome option. I think a savings account, excellent option too. Pet insurance is one that I don't personally have it, and I go back and forth with it all the time.
Yep.
I think that it can be super helpful for, you know, kind of those general expenses, right? Coco has a pre-existing condition, and so there's a lot of fine rules and things with that where I'm like, okay, you know, for me, I don't know if I want to risk paying for that, having it not cover something. I'd rather just put money aside in savings for that potential expense. So, you know, it's all about what you need at that moment and what you're able to prepare for, I think.
And when you say, so let's go back to some like super basics just to make sure everyone's clear. So when you say making savings account, are you saying you're having a general savings account and you just kind of have part of that savings account you've delineated, like this is Coco's, or are you talking completely separate savings account?
See, my financial behavior is I like to spend money. So for me, everything has to be separate.
Okay.
So one, like at Royal and many other financials around here, you can have multiple savings accounts.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have one for my water bill. I have one for rent. I have one for Coco. So everything gets separated into those. You can have like an online savings account.
Yeah.
Or there are certain online financials that have like buckets that you can make. So I think it's easiest to keep it separate so you can fully see what you have in there.
Yeah.
And I don't like to think about it. Like, I don't want to go through my transactions and think, okay, that one I labeled dog. Okay, so she really has 500. No, I want it to be easy.
Yep. I like how you how you said buckets, because that makes, like, visually, I think for a lot of people that makes sense.
I'm
like, in Coco's bucket, there are $2,000 for whatever could come up, $5,000 for whatever come up, whatever that might look like.
Yep. And you can, you know, then you have the option too to kind of divide it out even more. So you might have like Coco's emergency savings where we're putting money in there in case she has to have
so
that.
Even like subsection.
Yes.
Oh, we are getting technical.
I know, right? But that's what makes us successful. And then you could have that one that's just like general. So I throw some money in there for daycare. New toys come out of there.
Giant squeaky unicorn.
She does love a good giant squeaky toy, truly. But
I mean, she's a Labrador.
Yes.
Like anything in her mouth.
Anything. Unless you ask her to, then she's like,
oh, yes.
Never heard of it.
I've never heard that.
And she's like, I don't pick things up. Nope.
I didn't read that book.
Oh, she's so funny. But yeah, okay. You know, just you can get granular with it. And again, success that looks for you, it looks different for everybody. So what do you need out of that?
Well, and I think you mentioned too, daycare. I own a daycare and I forgot about that. I mean, that's another expense, right? Pet sitting. I mean, pet sitting is not cheap these days.
No, it's not.
I mean, I think boarding, general boarding is like $50 a night.
Yeah.
Holy cow. If you're gone on vacation for a week, that's a giant expense above and beyond your vacation.
It is a huge expense.
Yeah.
Like, I am very lucky. I have someone who loves my dog, I think, more than I do.
Yes.
It's not my mom. But she won't let me. She is a foster for can do, but.
Oh, ask, yes.
Like, I'll ask Coco to come over for the weekend and doesn't let me pay her. And oh my gosh, thank
yes.
goodness. Because, you know, parking at the airport's $300.
Oh my gosh.
On top
of
the $50 a day. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah. Well, and I think one thing that people kind of forget too, and this is where it goes back to asking, and this is like a bit of a financial piece, but even in daycare, we've said, you know, hey, Coco loves River and Penny or whatever. Like, you know, if the two of you swapped, if your house is set up and your family is okay with it and the dog is comfortable in that environment, like even swapping services, not that they're legally a service, but I mean, even looking into pieces like that can save you some money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's less stressful because the dog has a friend that they know and a person that they probably kind of somewhat are familiar with. So,
and someone you trust with them.
And someone you trust. Yeah.
A big one too.
Yeah. I'm lucky. I've never had to board my dogs. Mm-hmm. I've always had people that will take them or come to my house or whatever, but that's a big expense. And we're talking, I mean, Cooper and I are talking about one dog.
Like, yes.
I mean,
not to mention multiple.
Yeah. If you have 3, 4, 5, I mean, I don't know how people do it with, they have 6 dogs in veterinary care.
Yep.
I mean,
I don't know how my mom did it, truly. And feeding them. I mean, even
if
you're,
them.
Like, you know, fed is best for the dog. But if you're feeding just a basic kibble, gosh, that has gotten expensive.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Too, so.
And a dog, any dog over, you know, 50 pounds, I mean, they eat quite a bit.
Yeah.
So that's a big expense, too.
It is.
Gosh, well, so multiple dogs. So, okay, so Cooper, let's look at the basics. So if we said, so if I said, just to like give people an idea for numbers, because I think sometimes it's, if you'd start a savings account, I think people will think, oh my gosh, I have to immediately put $1,000 in there and I don't have that. And like tuition is coming up or I have to pay for this or I have a something. So if we looked at what was the statistic, I said $700 to $1,500 a year for basic wellness for dogs.
Yep.
So if someone were to start a savings account and say, okay, Cooper, I'm totally going to start this. I'm going to open a savings account. What do you think would be a reasonable amount? And this is an average dog, no chronic health issues yet. Mm-hmm. just to start with, like what's reasonable to start with?
Yeah. So, you know, looking at that statistic, what I would tell somebody is for that first year, before you get a full handle on everything, start out with that $1,700. Okay. Like you're going to estimate a little bit higher, divide it by 12.
Yeah.
I just did it. It's about $140.
Yep.
Divide it by 2, transfer that $70 every paycheck into that account.
Yep.
Okay. So you're building up a base and fingers crossed, maybe you can get through that first year and, you know, start to go from there. Otherwise kind of estimate out, you know, if you are someone who is able to plan for that puppy, one, I would highly recommend, just like I tell people, come ask us questions at the credit union. Go into Embark and ask the questions and be like, hey, I'm getting a puppy. What do you recommend for food? What do I do this? Ask your vet and, you know, get some of those numbers and say, okay, I want to feed, you know, Purina Sweet. We know it's $90 every 3 months. Okay, so we can write that down.
Yep.
Ask your vet, hey, what are the, you know, basic costs going to be for this or a checkup? You can get that. And then once you have, you know, your estimated numbers, add them up, maybe add a little bit onto it,
yeah.
divide it up and start saving that. So that, like, you're never going to get it perfect, you know,
yeah.
and that's just budgeting in general.
But how, like, you know, when you're in, you know, let's say Ridge had an emergency yeah. or something. Oh my gosh, how much better does it feel
mm-hmm.
going, knowing you can go to the vet, knowing you have this initial cost covered yep. for an emergency? Because, oh my God, in that moment where you are emotionally charged, your dog yep. is emotionally charged, you have to think about money. I mean, what a emotional roller coaster
yes.
of, I don't know, what treatment do I choose and what can I afford? I mean, that, having that little safety above
yeah.
and beyond has got to make that moment so much easier. Not that it's
it does.
Easy, but so much
well,
easier.
And even if you don't have all of the money,
yeah.
right? Having, I tell people, it doesn't matter how much you're saving, having some money in that moment
yeah.
is going to be more helpful. So, yep, maybe their bill is $1,700.
Yeah.
Maybe you've only got half of that saved. Sweet. Okay, we can
yeah.
give them half the money now. Maybe they'll do a payment plan with
yep.
us. We could do care credit.
Yep.
Hopefully insurance will give us a nice kickback if,
yeah.
you know, it's covered under that. So, you know, having something is a peace of mind in that moment
yeah.
that you're like, okay, I can do what they need.
Yeah.
And makes your life a little bit easier and less sad probably in the moment.
Well, and then I think it's a panic in that moment, and some
mm-hmm.
people will look for social media and like crowdfunding.
Yes.
And that is, there's no guarantee.
No.
Like, are you going to get 50? Are you going to get the 3,000 that you need?
Yep.
And then I know most of those companies will take some kind of a kickback from the funding
yes.
that they're getting too. So it's not that someone can directly donate oftentimes.
Yep. Well, and gosh, with those, there are so many scams out there
now,
too.
Oh, yes.
That, you know,
yeah.
I think people are a little more hesitant to give. And it's
yeah.
just a hard world in that realm, too.
Well, I think, gosh, the advice of starting with something where you take a year by year
mm-hmm.
and just kind of making an estimate and starting to draw that into some kind of a savings account. And then you're getting a little bit of interest on it, too.
Yep.
So you're building
absolutely
a little bit. And, you know, the best case scenario might be you don't have to use it until your dog
exactly.
is six, but then you have this big buffer of, okay, you know what? Yep. They need a big dental, you know,
yep.
Surgery, which is expensive. It's okay. I can do that. Like
yep.
it makes those healthcare decisions so much easier, I would suspect.
Absolutely. It does.
I mean, I remember this is years ago going into the vet. This is probably when I had Larkin, which
oh, wow.
was a long time
yeah.
ago, like 2006,
yeah.
5. And there was someone there for an emergency, and the vet bill was going to be $200, and they opted to put their dog to sleep. That was the
oh.
decision that they made because
yep.
they just couldn't afford it. And I think the vet obviously worked something out. But at the time, I mean, having to be in a panic-stricken environment
yep.
and not having that little bit of fund – I mean, what a horrible place to be in that moment. You're already such a mess. And I mean, that was like 20 some years ago, but.
But it's, I mean, I,
yeah.
Coco went through a phase last year of kennel cough and then pneumonia
oh, yeah.
and kennel cough. And we did emergency vet visits.
Yeah.
We did because she, you know, there were moments where she was not breathing right. And I'm
yep.
panicked. And, you know, I didn't have as much saved at that moment. And
yeah.
I thank goodness I did have a credit card I could put it on.
Yes.
But gosh, not having even that backup plan
yeah.
where, oh my gosh, I can't just pull that $1,000 out right now while I have the credit card. I can, you know, make payments. But I was worried and I'm like, I love her and I don't want anything to
oh
happen.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And, you know, it's so hard.
And I think going back to the emergency visits, too. So, you know, we have our normal general practice veterinarians, but then we in Eau Claire are lucky enough to have an emergency clinic,
mm-hmm.
so we don't have to drive to Woodbury or ARC or whatever. And that's, I mean, those costs are like double because
yep.
it's an emergency clinic. You can get in 24/7.
Yep.
And that's a big expense to bank on, too. And at some point, all of our dogs are going to do something ridiculous,
yep.
and they're going to need an emergency
gonna
visit.
Happen.
And it's
yep.
going to happen at Saturday night at 2 a.m,
yep.
probably.
Always.
And so
always.
Having that little buffer of, okay, I got this. It's going to be cool.
Yep.
I think that's such a like peaceful thing.
Yeah.
I believe.
It is. It is.
Well, gosh. Okay. So we covered a lot of things, but I think like rounding up all of the pieces, I think like Cooper said, having a savings account that you just start with something.
Yep.
I mean, we gave you some stats to kind of start thinking about what would I actually need and how can I start the process. And yes, in an ideal world, Cooper and I would love if, number one, you researched the puppy you're getting and you knew what kind of needs it had. And then you also had a savings account, but that doesn't always happen.
Right. Yep.
Let's be honest. Sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, here is a beagle shih tzu pug puppy and it's adorable and I need it. That's, you know, at the Oakland County Humane Association. Okay. So let's say you made that decision, which I'm not saying is bad because we have all done that.
Yep.
But I think then having the wherewithal to say, okay, we know this dog is going to need these things. And if we look even breed specifics, I mean, mm-hmm. we know, I mean, I can list 10 breeds that are probably going to have some kind of disease at some point. Yep. I mean, look at the breed I have. Like, our we have a 7-year life expectancy from cancer. Like, yep. I mean, flat coats have horrid amounts of cancer. Genetically, they're just predisposed for cancer, and that's a whole other podcast that I could go into. But so, I mean, gosh, knowing you have a dog that may be predisposed to laryngeal paralysis or some kind of cancer or a cruciate or whatever, I mean, then I think your brain should even be more triggered to say, okay, I got to set this aside.
Yep.
You know? So I think starting with a savings account, and starting to put that away through your dog's lifetime, I mean, gosh, you guys, it's just going to be so much more of an emotional cushion, mm-hmm. too, when you're in that moment of, oh, my gosh. I mean, just along from the day-to-day stuff that we know our dogs need wellness exams, but that's such a huge, huge piece mm-hmm. to it.
You know, Heather, I think one thing we didn't budget for in this was that time, too. So, you know, we can make a quick decision that we get that puppy, but remembering, you know, time for training classes.
Yeah.
Depending on your dog breed. I have a dog who's very active, right?
Yeah.
Like, she loves to go do things. Right now, I'm in grad school. I have
two jobs. Yes.
Like, I don't have time. That's why she comes to daycare.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, while that's a bigger expense for my time right now,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so worth it to pick her up and she's zonked for a day, you know? So, you know, remembering that,
that's true.
The quality of life you're going to give them. Is
really
important.
And that
could
be daycare, dog walker.
Yep.
We have a hiking program where we'll take your dog out to a 23-acre fence sniff spot and let them run. And like,
how do I find Coco?
Oh, we'll
talk
about that. We rolled it out internally,
dream.
But now it's external.
That's our dream.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, so many pieces. So Cooper, if they wanted to get a hold of you, so I'm going to tell you,
Money
Donuts. I was like, well, donut money. That's not right. Money Donuts podcast. And you guys record how often?
We usually about once a month. We have a new episode coming out, sometimes more frequently.
Yeah. If you're interested in finance, listen to it because they have great stuff and it's very witty and it's hilarious and Cooper's on it. So it's great.
It is pretty great. I will say that.
And that also you can find at Oakland Hometown Radio. So look for them there. But then Cooper, if people have questions, where can they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can go to rcu.org/education. That is an option. Otherwise, Cooper, so COOPER.Larson, LARSON at rcu.org. Feel free to reach out anytime.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone. I hope you can take all of this info forward and start kind of thinking about building a savings account for your dog. And thanks so much, Cooper, for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great.